We have to start with Iran, because several separate stories today are actually one story, and the through line is that the United States and Israel are now engaged in direct, confirmed military action against Iranian territory while simultaneously conducting nuclear diplomacy with Tehran. That tension is not a contradiction. It is the policy, and it is worth slowing down to understand exactly how we got here. Israeli Defense Minister Katz confirmed this week that U.S. warplanes used Israeli bases to strike Iran. That is the American government conducting offensive operations against a sovereign nation from a third country's soil, which is a different category of commitment than supporting an ally's operations from a distance. The confirmation matters because it closes off deniability on the American side.
And then overnight, Israel itself struck Iran again, hitting two nuclear facilities, steel plants, and a power plant. Tehran is threatening retaliation. What makes this particularly volatile is the diplomatic context. The U.S. and Iran are nominally still engaged in nuclear talks. You have two tracks running simultaneously, bombs and diplomacy, and each one is undermining the other. If you're a negotiator in a Vienna back channel right now, your leverage just got complicated in both directions.
Trump also threatened to strike Pickaxe Mountain, which is a known hardened Iranian nuclear facility, and separately threatened Iran's energy grid as the U.S. reimposed a naval blockade. The energy grid threat is significant because Iran runs aging infrastructure, and a sustained attack on its power generation capacity would affect 88 million civilians before it affects the Revolutionary Guard.
And then there's the IRGC dimension that moves this beyond the military sphere. An outlet linked to Iran's Revolutionary Guard released video targeting Melania and Barron Trump, specifically by name. That is not battlefield signaling. That is a domestic terror threat framing, and the FBI and Secret Service treat it as such. Iran is fighting on multiple levels at once. Conventional military response, nuclear diplomacy, information warfare, and what amounts to psychological pressure on the American president personally.
Meanwhile, the U.S. and Saudi Arabia launched joint strikes on Iran-backed militias in Iraq after Iran fired ballistic missiles at a U.S. base in Jordan, which CENTCOM says it fully intercepted. So you have Iran attacking U.S. forces in Jordan, the U.S. and Saudi Arabia striking Iranian proxies in Iraq, Israel striking Iranian nuclear sites, and the U.S. confirming it flew strike missions from Israeli bases. This is not a proxy conflict anymore. The principals are directly engaged.
And to close the loop on the political dimension, Iran formally indicted Donald Trump for the killing of Ayatollah Khamenei, with charges that carry the death penalty under Iranian law. Obviously, Iran cannot enforce that indictment. But it matters as a signaling document. It tells us that the Iranian government considers Khamenei's death a direct result of American action, and it frames Trump personally as the responsible party. That sets a rhetorical floor for how any future negotiation will be framed from Tehran's side.
The poll from The Economist and YouGov showing that 49% of Americans now support enforcing the ICC warrant against Netanyahu also lands differently in this context. When nearly half the country supports arresting the leader of your primary strike partner in the region, that creates a political constraint that any administration has to manage. And right now, it is being managed by ignoring it, which is its own strategic choice.